You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number three. It's The Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. We're all pooped after that segment. There's a lot going on in that hour, that half hour there. Woo! Matty was on a scooter. People in Calgary have no idea where the Masters played, and I'm super disappointed in all of you.
Did you apologize?
No, what, to Simon?
Yeah!
No, I'm not apologizing to Simon. He should know better. Matty and I made Oilers Reddit. That's fun.
We did! I think the show as a whole did.
That's fun. Start ranting about the Oilers.
What did it say?
We're getting trashed.
Just basically copied the segment to the link. You know, get those downloads up. Appreciate it, lads. And then, I don't know. Just mostly.
Yeah, we were slamming the Oilers and their fans.
Lions don't concern something sheep.
This is, listen, if you're a grown-ass man in your 40s wearing one of those chains with the team logo on it, I'm sorry. That's a red flag. It's offside.
Dust off the track.
The arm goes up. It's offside. I'm sorry. VAR confirms the offside,
VAR
Patrick.
Confirmed.
It's offside. Our next guest can weigh in on this big, hotly contested topic. He covers the Flames for The Athletic. You hear him on Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on Thursdays and Fridays right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Mr. Julian McKenzie in the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Good to hear your voices, guys. How are you guys doing?
Grown-ass men wearing the chains with the logo on it. GVP said 14 and under acceptable. Your thoughts?
I feel like the only people who could really pull that off are like actual like rappers. Like, I expect to see like the Wu-Tang Clan like do that. And like more often than not, the people who do it at games do not have an iota of the swag of the Wu-Tang Clan. So they're probably right.
Again, hey, wear what you want. I'm just saying I saw a lot of Oilers fans wearing that stuff on Saturday night.
An Oilers chain? I don't know. I mean, yeah like, I don't know. I feel like if I was, like, walking around and I saw someone wear, like, an Oilers chain, I'd be like, okay, all right, you're a fan. Like, yeah. Not bad impressed. Like, you just look like a loser a little bit. Like,
yeah. But again, Matty and I made Oilers Reddit, so that's good. That means we're getting...
Oh, you guys are on Reddit? Oh, yeah. God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine. They'll tune in. When the Oilers win a series, maybe they'll tune in to see what we have to say and be like, oh, how do you like the Oilers now? And like, I still don't believe.
As long as they tune in.
Yeah, I still don't believe in them. Matty has a list for you on the game tonight in San Jose. 8:30 start on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Matty has a list of five things he's watching tonight. Five, Julian. Okay.
That's a lot.
Lay it on him.
I'm trying to sell this game. It's on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, 8:30 tonight, pregame at 7:30. Can Mackenzie Weegar get to 20 goals? He's got 19 right now, so that's got to be one. First Flame to get 20 on the blue line since Gio in 15-16, so that's got to be one of them. Yegor Sharangovich is at 30 goals, the most by a Belarusian, but can he pass Mikhail Grabovsky with 58 points for the most by a Belarusian in a season? He's currently at 56, so that's something to keep an eye on. We'll see if Zary and Huberdeau are still a pair, because I really liked Zary. I thought he was really effective in that last game. See how much Ilya Solovyov is going to play. And the final one is, if Dustin Wolf plays, does he have a bounce back in San Jose, where he did not play very well against his hometown team the last time?
You're not going to include Blake Coleman, who's also knocking on the door of 30 goals?
It's not on my list. I could put a 6-1 in there if you want. Yeah,
it absolutely should be on your list. I think the fact that, I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday, but it is a bit of a shame that this team isn't going to make the playoffs despite career seasons from Mackenzie Weegar, Yegor Sharangovich, and Blake Coleman. He's playing the best hockey. He's playing statistically. Anyway, he's playing the best hockey he's ever played. But yeah, I understand it's a bit of a tough sell for a lot of people at this point in the Flames season to watch that game. The number one point for me on this list is Dustin Wolf. I think the story is obvious with the fact that that start he had in February against San Jose did not go as planned. And ever since, we have seen him take time with the team, get his opportunities, get some wins. He's had some losses too, but the way he's reacted after those losses compared to what happened to him against the Sharks earlier this year, night and day since. And we all know the hometown connection. If he's able to get that start tonight in San Jose, I'm sure his family will be there. And that's gonna be a special moment that'll go down for him as one of the best in his early career. So that's, for me, the number one thing I'm looking for.
How intrigued are you by Connor's area at center?
I'm very intrigued. I'm really curious about how this goes for him. He did look pretty good in his first game at center. The faceoffs obviously could be better, but Ryan Huska was full of praise for him at that position. Still just surprised that he gets scratched. We know it took him a little bit of time to get his foot, his bearings back after that injury layoff, but gets scratched. And the first game back, he's at center. If the team really sees him at center, I'm very curious about how long that lasts. Ryan Huska has mentioned that he's very much for putting him back and forth between center and the wing. And I get it. That helps him in terms of versatility. And Connor himself has mentioned that he is comfortable playing the wing. And if he has to play center, he has to play center. But I think he's developed that familiarity and comfort playing on the wing, which makes sense considering what he's played for most of the year. But if this team wants him at center, I want to see some stability at that position. Like, just give him a run at that position, let him go through his mistakes, but also let him enjoy the high stuff too. And I get these games don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but letting him get reps at the NHL level at that position, that's invaluable. So I'm curious how long Ryan Huska puts that forth from now through to the end of the season. And then, of course, we'll talk about this in training camp for next year, and we'll see how they slot. But I need to see a little bit more before making a proper assessment. At least at the start, in a small sample size, it looks okay. But I'm more intrigued about how long Ryan Huska is willing to let this go and let him be a center and let him go through the mistakes and also let him go and the players he's positioned with. Like, I'm very curious about how Huska's philosophy with young centers plays out with Connor Zary.
Andre Kuzmenko's got 9 points in his last 5 games. Has that changed how you've looked at his player, or maybe what the Flames could do with him moving forward?
It's a good question. I think every time I see him play, especially between the offensive dots, who's getting the text in the show, guys?
Damn it, Julian! You're the first one to notice it.
Just because I'm new to the iPhone game doesn't mean I can't pick up on sound.
I'm not giving it up. I'm not giving up what we do.
It's all right. All I was just going to say with Andre is I just can't believe when you see him play and you see the offensive skill and talent, it just really shows how there's a gap between him and some of the other players. I'm not saying he's this super all-world player. He's this ultimate game breaker. But, like, the Flames really need guys like his skill set on the team. They need that high-end talent to really put them over the top. It's just that for Andre Kuzmenko, he's a little older, and in this case, in this state of their evolution, in their transitionary period, unless Andre can show that, like, he's worth keeping in his 30s, like, he's probably going to be a trade deadline candidate. I would be surprised if the team negotiated with him in the offseason. I would think that they're just going to let him be a wait-and-see thing, where next year you see what you still have in him, if he's still able to produce offensively. But hey, maybe he establishes connection with a couple guys and it genuinely works, and maybe you can think about keeping him. But I think it's more likely they offload him for whatever high asset they can get next season. Just because if you're in this retool and you're still trying to get better and you're trying to accumulate as many assets, like, this is the type of thing you should be doing. And this is what teams who have been in the Flames position have done before, where you take on a reclamation project and you let them play as well as they can in the short time they're around the team, and then you flip them for assets. Like, he is a prime trade deadline candidate for this team. But hey, if you're a fan and you like the Kuzi experience, enjoy it for all it's worth, because he seems like a fun guy in the room. The media avails have been fun with him, even though the English is limited, but, like, he finds a way to be this endearing and hilarious character. But on the ice, when he's on offensively and he's able to make some sick moves and he's able to create some great plays and work down low behind the net, still thinking about that power play from a couple nights ago where they're basically working below the faceoff dots and Kuzmenko is behind the net and it worked. It was one of the best looks the power play has gotten all year. Like, he's doing well on this team right now. He's starting to feel comfortable and it's good for him. And I know he's felt that, you know, his whole season could be better, but I think it's good that he's able to have this last stretch where he's looked as well as he has. It's just the question's still out there and the jury's still out there if he really is a viable long-term player for this team.
Julian McKenzie from The Athletic covers the Flames. You hear him on Sportsnet today right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Julian's on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Patty and Vickers had a conversation yesterday about a potential Yegor Sharangovich extension. Is that something that you would be on board with starting July 1? What would that extension look like? Is that a good idea? Is he a guy that potentially you can hold on to as a trade chip next trade deadline, much like kind of what you were talking about Kuzmenko just now? But what's your thoughts on potentially keeping Sharky long-term, or Sharon, as Ryan Huska calls him?
That's really interesting. Well, first off, the Sharon thing and then Sharky. I'm more Sharky than Sharon. Okay. But I think the Flames would be better off keeping Yegor Sharangovich. He's a little younger than Andrei Kuzmenko. He's got more versatility on those forward lines. You could put him on the wing. You could put him at center. He can play penalty kill as well as power play. I think he's a player who, if you sign him to what, a 4 or 5 year deal, in terms of the AAV, and we think about it a little bit more. But like, I think he's a player who fits in the timeline for what you want. And he's shown that if you put him in a top six role, you put him in a good offensive position, he's able to provide you production. You guys mentioned off top of the 30 goal season, like that's great for him. He's looked confident. He's played with really good quality players throughout the season. I think he's a guy worth doubling down on for the next few seasons with this franchise. I like the idea of extending him in the offseason, especially after the season that he's had. And just knowing that you have a stable piece that, you know, hey, if the building opens up in 2027, that guy's going to be there. And I don't think there's going to be too many issues with that. I've liked what he's provided to the team in a forward role. And I think if you sign him to a reasonable deal, we are not breaking the bank. What is 5x5 too expensive for Yegor Sharangovich? Like, I don't think you're getting 4x5 or 5x4, but like upwards of 5 mil. And again, I can look at it a little bit more in depth, but like I think keeping him long term is not a bad idea.
Doesn't that feel like six being a 30 goal guy in the NHL?
A one time 30 goal guy.
Right.
Like if he was like a two time 30 goal guy,
one time
like, right,
30
yeah,
goal
sure.
scorer who was scratched in the playoffs last year. Like yep. he's been fine this year, but
you're also buying up some UFA years too, right? And
that's
costs
exactly
a little extra.
It, right? It absolutely does. Like you're seeing that he's gotten 30 goals this year, and you're banking that okay, you can get him on the cheap, so that way you can get him to score 30 goals at a really good rate. 25 years old, you sign him now, well, you'll be 26 in June. But like, yeah, you buy up some of those UFA years. Maybe you sign him to a deal that takes him to 30, 31. I wouldn't hate that deal, especially if you're able to keep him like anything above six. I'm like, okay. Even then, it's not that bad. But like, if you get to seven, like, yeah, that's a little much.
Flames used one of their final two recalls yesterday to bring up Ilya Solovyov. Who else, if you had to recall one player, who else do you want to see from the Wranglers?
That's a good question. I'll put the vote up for that ding again. Like, this is just, oh, is this for like good questions? Is that what the ding
okay,
is for?
Okay, let's not talk about this. It's a low key thing we like to keep under wraps on the program. All right, Julian?
I've never heard this thing before. I've been on this show for like, what, a year and a half?
You're the first one to ever notice it.
Yeah. Anytime a guest says good question, we play a ding.
And we keep track of them back here in the scoreboard. We have a scoreboard in the back, too.
Oh, that's what that's
We've
for.
Been found.
Okay. We're very competitive back here.
Okay. All right. So I'm sorry.
I wish we had like the Men in Black thing now where we can just look into this for all of our listeners now.
I really appreciate you getting the count up twice there, though. Thank you.
I'm so sorry.
Now he's not going to say good question anymore.
No, it's just like, no. I just realized that. I think for in terms of who should get the final recall, and we have one left. For story's sake, it'd be cool if like Jeremy Poirier got called up. This is a player who had his season derailed with that skate laceration. It would be fun to see him back. Maybe you put him in a just give him like a game or two.
Can they call it a total recall? Sorry, I'm an idiot. Oh, we need to just stop him in his tracks with that. Nice job.
Sorry. Sorry, that's what I thought of.
Halt
like,
the show.
One.
Stop it.
It's a total recall.
Anyway, go ahead.
Every day. Every day.
Liked it.
Every day, Julian. Every day of my life. All unbelievable. Right,
go ahead. Jeremy Poirier. Go ahead. Jeremy
Poirier would be
yes.
Jeremy Poirier would be
thank
good
you.
For story reasons. Adam Klapka is a guy you could think about bringing back too. We know we've seen him in limited spurts at the fourth line on this team. That wouldn't be so bad. I wonder if they feel maybe, you know, if it's worth bringing back Pelletier one more time. He needed his bearings. He needed to play a couple more games. He didn't look as great in his last stretch with the team. Maybe you give him one more chance to get his footing and let him be around the NHL guys one more time before he returns for the AHL playoffs. There's a couple of candidates I would think of starting with those three guys.
Which team needs to win the lottery more, the Calgary Flames or the San Jose Sharks?
San Jose. Look, I get it. Calgary needs the high-end players. San Jose needs players. San Jose is not going to be good for a while. A long while. Macklin Celebrini, I'm not going to say he's going to completely change the fortunes of the San Jose Sharks overnight, but he'll help decrease the time of their rebuild. Calgary has at least some NHL players. They have an NHL roster. You're not going to make the playoffs with this roster. And definitely if you put Macklin Celebrini on this team, you look at them a little bit differently, but like that's the exact type of player that you need. If you're doing this retool and you're trying to get this team ready for the building to open up, I think that what Craig Conroy has done as GM, getting as many assets as he can, it's a good thing. He still needs those high-end players. Him somehow getting the number one overall pick in this year's draft and getting the opportunity to draft Macklin Celebrini, that's what you need. I mean, at this point, if you're the Flames, you're hoping the ping pong balls fall where they may. But if you end up getting a player of his caliber, that really helps your retool. But if you're San Jose, a team that, you know, you need players. Look at this roster that they have, just kind of barren in terms of talent. And again, they're not going to be good for a while. Celebrini's a guy you can build around. I know they have other decent young players like a Will Smith, but like Macklin Celebrini's a guy you can build around for the future. He probably wins a lot quicker in Calgary, but San Jose for the long haul, they would need him a little bit more.
Do we know when the draft lottery is? Hasn't been announced yet, right?
It's usually in May, right? It's like usually in May,
start a second round, something like that.
That's it. Yeah. So I would think like mid-May is when we would get an idea of when the ping pong balls are going to fall around.
And that's when your heart starts to race when Bill Daly's flipping over cards of team logos on them.
The most exciting flipping of cards you could watch in sports.
It feels like it.
It only took me 10 spins for the Flames to win it just now, so it's pretty...
Only 10?
Only 10.
Okay.
Only 10? I've had it less. Like, you go on Tankathon, presumably?
Yeah.
I've had instances where I'm in studio, and I'm just playing around, I hit sim lottery, and then, boom, I get it, like, the first time, or, like, I get it the third time. I just did it just now, and the Flames actually fell to ninth, and Seattle went up 10 to the number one overall pick. Mm. I don't know if I should just stop now, or if I should just keep going here, but, like, yeah, I think the fact that the Flames are in the top 10, like, that's still a win, right? People complain about how this team tries to make the playoffs, and they're like, oh, you're only going to get a 12th overall pick or a 13th overall pick. You need top 10 picks to build up your team for the future, and it sure looks like at this point they're going to be barring a win streak that takes them out of it, they're going to be picking in the top 10 this year.
How much Tejas Ginla hype is going to be happening in this city in the next month and a half?
Happening? Are you serious?
Well,
it's been going on already.
I'm just saying, like, all of a sudden they're like, he's climbing up the draft board. People are like, he might go higher than originally thought. And now Flames fans are like, oh my God, we have to draft this guy for sure. Even Conroy was asked about it on the After Hours show Saturday night about Tejas Ginla. Like, Julian,
I think he answered it.
Like, is this a good idea? Is it a great idea? Is it something the Flames need to do? Like, I just, it's one of those
Here's
things.
Here's my thing about it.
This is what I'm going to tell you about.
You go first.
Again, it would be dream scenario for a lot of Flames fans. Talk about no pressure, kid. Come in here and, like, help flip the fortunes of the entire franchise around. But I also always go back to the Bill Parcells saying, you start listening to the fans, you sit with them. That's the only thing I worry about.
But this is not them listening to the fans. Everyone talks about how he's been properly scouted, and this is a guy who very much deserves to be here.
Okay.
So I would push back on that notion because it's very correct.
Right.
But I don't think that's the case here because this is a player who comes with a ton of pedigree.
Okay, well, let me just ask both of you this question then. Should the Flames do anything if they have to move up a couple spots, trade away a pick, an asset to potentially draft him? Should they moving up potentially if they have to in the draft board to grab
him? If they think he's the best available player by a significant margin, then yes, they should.
Okay.
But only if they, via their scouts, via their drafting, via everything they've done, have determined that he is the best player available, then yes. But if someone else is going to take them ahead of him, honestly, might not be a bad thing for the organization.
And who knows more than his dad who can tell Conroy about his kid. Anyway, go ahead, Julian.
No, I'm in full agreement here. If he's the best player on the board, you have to take him. I think with the skill set that he has and what he's been able to do in the dub this year, I think he could be a high impact player for this organization. But yes, the pressure, the name, all of that is obvious. What you don't want is for the team to just draft him, and then it turns out there were so many other good players on the board that they could have taken. Depending on where they're at, if they're at eighth or ninth in the draft order. Like, I think if they're in a position where they were able to draft another high quality player, and maybe Tiege is actually 12th or 13th best or just later on in the draft, like, I don't think it makes sense to reach for him. Then again, if you really aren't that enamored with some of those players and you really want Tiege, I guess you could trade down, but even then, I don't think this franchise should be trading down. You should be holding firm to your spot or trying to find a way to move up to get a higher quality player. But if Tiege happens to be the guy, you should take him. I've heard people say, like, oh no, like, don't take him because of the pressure and all that. I'm sorry. He's a young man who is trying to play in the NHL, and I get his dad is in the organization, but the Flames would be very foolish to pass on him just because of familial pressure. If he's the best player on the board, he should be picked. I think Craig Conroy in his answer on After Hours, where he's saying we're going to put the players in order, and if he's the best guy, we'll take the best player. I think that's a good way of looking at it.
It's going to be interesting here because that's what Flames fans have to look forward to, the draft lottery and then the subsequent draft in Las Vegas. Julian McKenzie, you read his stuff for The Athletic?
Landon DuPont, what did you learn about the new kid yesterday?
I think for a 14-year-old, like, I get it. I some people were looking at him on social media and some of the photos putting up, it's like, oh, he's not smiling or whatever. He looks excited.
Oh, my God.
Sarcastically being the dub. Guys, it's a 14-year-old kid. He's a kid. Like, I don't know.
He's a child.
He's a child. Give him a little bit of grace with. Yeah. He's a child in that respect. I get it. But look,
slip him a happy meal. Put a smile on his face, maybe.
He's a finely tuned athlete, George.
Yeah, I know he is. I know he is. What, he can't? He can't have the grilled cheese with the toy in it?
No.
Okay. Orange Fruitopia. All right.
Yeah, that's probably one question we should have asked him, man. Like, what Happy Meal toys did you enjoy?
What toy do you like to pick?
Yeah, seriously.
The book or the toy?
That might actually be like a legit like draft question. Like when you were a kid, would you prefer reading or toys? And like a kid's like draft stock falls because they wanted Furbies instead of a book.
You know what?
Anyway.
Yeah, I love your connection. It sounds like you're in like a drive-through speaker right now.
Yeah, it does.
Order a Happy Meal.
Oh, now you sound good. There it is.
Now you sound good.
Oh no.
You're like we're literally talking about Happy Meals, and then all of a sudden your microphone decided to sound like a drive-through.
Do you want a number six?
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
No, I think with Landon,
there it is again.
I don't know what's happening here. Right,
we'll just let you go. No. How's that?
That's fine. That's
thanks,
okay.
Pal.
I'm sorry, guys. No worries, guys. Peace.
Talk to you later. Bye. Can I get a double? Let me get with Big Mac sauce.
Yeah, of course. You'd like that upsized?
Yeah. Can I get some Big Mac sauce?
Yeah. What do you want to drink with that?
Man. Can I get a bag?
You want fries? Yeah. 15 cents for a bag.
Damn it. Sounded like using a chopper.
You want me to just hand you all your stuff here? Or you want this bag
over? Yeah. Just flying in Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah. Well, we're here on the Deerfoot as you're headed southbound coming from the north. You can see there's a big delay as you get towards 16th Avenue here.
Oh, man. there he is, Julie McKenzie, athletic. You hear him on Sportsnet today, not from a speaker.
What
generally.
A program we've put together today.
Man, it's busy.
Chaos. And
straight ahead, you help with your master's pool.
Yeah.
Cam Stewart, Sirius XM, and a XM radio host, Sports Grid. I'm going to help you with your master's pool. Going to give you some underdogs, talk about, is this Scottie Scheffler at 4-1? Is that the pick? Like, because he looks unbelievable right now.
Did you see what his coach said? One of the reporters who's down there asked his coach just kind of in passing, you guys working on anything? Nope, all good.
Well, yeah, no
oh,
kidding.
Oh, excellent, great.
Yeah, no kidding.
That should terrify everybody else.
Yeah, he's striking.
He's not worried about any part of his game right now.
Yeah, no, we're going to change a swing because he pretty much wins every tournament.
No, but my point is even your coach would be like, we're usually working on like a couple of little things. Like, you know, we're trying to make sure he's like that much tighter around the greens or something like that. He just said flat out, nope.
No, we're good.
We're good.
We'll do that. We'll help you out with your master's pool. Intern Simon will have his read on the Sportsnet 960 master's pool. We'll do that, and we'll give you our lock of the day. Man, it's been a busy show. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. We'll wrap up today's show with our lock of the day. Our intern, Simon, will give you deets on the Sportsnet 960 The Fan Masters Pool, which is apparently up and running now. You can actually make player picks now.
I will double-check that before the end of the segment.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's exciting. The Masters kicks off. I was watching Masters on the Range yesterday because I'm a sicko when it comes to the Masters. Our next guest is going to help you make some picks. SiriusXM Sports Grid host, betting expert, my former co-host on Inside the Lines on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. It's always a pleasure to talk to Mr. Cam Stewart. Hello, sir. How are you?
George, how are you doing, buddy? This is amazing. My girlfriend's saying, you know what I love about George Russick? Kish. You don't say cash. Kish.
Kish.
Amazing.
Kish.
Yeah, kish.
I thought she was going to say he's handsome.
Are we baking quiche?
Yeah.
Yeah, and handsome. And Serbian.
Thank you. It's true. That all those things can be true at the same time.
Feels like two truths and a lie, but it's fine.
Okay,
I got to be honest with you, George. I was out last night. I had UConn futures watching them beat Purdue. A little bit of happiness and sadness because Zach Edey's Canadian. You know us, George. We stick by our Canucks. But
it's true.
Keish talk. So, like, let's party and let's have a great time.
That's not bad. All right, Cam. The Masters, biggest golf tournament of the year. Everyone's super excited. Is it? Who do you got, Scottie Scheffler or the field? Because that guy is just off the charts right now with his ball striking.
Scott, you know what, George, you're so smart. And this is what people are doing now. Scottie Scheffler parlayed with Max Verstappen, parlayed with Bundesliga play, parlayed with golf top four. Like, you know what I mean? You can't, the guy's 4-1. His odds now, I've been talking to people in this business, and we're going back to like bets I used to make on Tiger Woods when guys were moving boulders for him to win. Like, Scheffler's like Woods. And I got to be honest with you, no offense to Tiger Woods, the fields are tougher now. Like, I had Ash K. Bhatia last week, and let me tell you, George, this is a great story. I'm in the airport with my lady Lisa, and he had a 6-shot lead. I go, honey, I think it's going to be okay. One of those ding-dong friends that you have, this is in the bag. I blocked him. I'm like, you idiot. I go, it's never in the bag. I've seen guys lose 9-shot. And know what? After he texted me, here comes McCarthy. Birdie. And the thing is, Bhatia shot the round of it. Like, he played well. It's not like he shot 4 over. McCarthy played, like, that was the best putting display I've seen in years. But, George, the Masters, I've been there. And let me tell you, it's one of my favorite times of the year. I'm here in New York now. And a lot of people don't know. For people that don't know, it's a very hilly. There's a lot of side hill lies. There's a lot of things that you don't see on TV that really, like, trick you on the Masters. And the thing is, a lot of the time experience is really important at the Masters, but George, I'm going to do something pretty stupid on your show, which I've probably done a few times. Okay. I actually like a guy that gags, nobody likes, has been close before. I looked at Xander Schauffele, and I looked at his history here, and I'm like, you know what? If he has a lead and he's two or three groups back, I think it's a really good spot for him. But the minute he looks at the leaderboard, I think it could be a big problem. Also, it's a left-hander's paradise. I'm a lefty. Everything, a lot of dogleg lefts. Who's one? Bubba Watson, Mike Weir. You know, who else?
Phil Mickelson.
Phil Mickelson. Thank you. All the lefties. So Brian Harman, as my girlfriend Lisa said, is a dangerous guy, and we got him at 70-1 prior. I think he's a very, very dangerous player. Lefties do really well here. And let's remember, George, too, the LIV guys are back. You know, John Rahm, Cam Smith, Joaquin Niemann, a lot of really good players. So, but I'm going to stick with the guys that have been playing consistently on the PGA Tour. And I really like Schauffele. And even though this guy bothers me, my girlfriend hates him, I'm not a fan. He drips money. He's a drip. Patrick Cantlay, I'm going to take him too at 30-1. Guy's so slow. But he'll play Augusta well. He has the patience and boringness to thrive.
Okay. So big story. Rory McIlroy, can he complete the career Grand Slam? Yada, yada, yada. What's more likely to happen? Rory McIlroy completes the career Grand Slam or Tiger Woods breaks the record of 24 straight cuts made at the Masters?
Great. George, you're on fire, man. I'm glad you're doing well in Calgary. People, if you're listening, these are good questions when you ask somebody. That's a great question because that's a pick-up. I'm going to go with Tiger Woods. You think Rory, have you watched Rory McIlroy's wedge game? Like, honestly, George, me and you after, like, you know, 30 vodkas and White Claws can sometimes get it closer. His putting is inconsistent.
Cam, there ain't no laws when you're drinking Claws. Benary, sorry, go ahead.
is that what it works?
Yeah.
I remember once I said White Claw's a mix, and my buddy's like, you got a problem? I know. I go, White Claw's a mix. Like, don't you put White Claw into vodka? Anyway, I digress from people that don't drink. Here's the deal. I'm going to tell you, Rory McIlroy is a great golfer. Will he be there? Probably for a top 10? Sure. But the one thing about Tiger Woods that I know, with one leg blindfolded, he can maybe make the cut. But the thing we do, George, is we attack him if he makes the cut in the third and fourth round matchup bets, because I don't think his body could hold up. I know it was a miracle when he won years ago, but I got to be honest with you. I really think he can make the cut. There's also a bet first round score, 72.5, and I found a 73 on a book with juice. I would take the under. I think he can play even par golf in round one.
What do you think is going to happen with Brooks Koepka? I saw he switched his putter coming into this round.
I don't like Brooks Koepka. He seems like a bully.
Yep.
He's like, you know, hey, George, like me and you could be that guy there, and Brooks Koepka, I'm going to beat you guys up. But like, what would we ever do to you, Brooks? Like, we just want to play golf. Thing is, I respect his game. But I'm going to tell you something. That's a great question. I don't know what Brooks Koepka's going to do. He could put on the green jacket or miss the cut. He's one of those guys. I've been following Liv a little bit. The one guy that I'm scared about on who's coming over is Joaquin Niemann. Sergio Garcia is playing a lot better. He's had success at the Masters before. But I'm going to tell you this, George. Guys, I'm not taking Brooks Koepka. If he wins and he beats me, we can't bet everybody. So I'm done with Brooks Koepka. But I do think one Liv golfer, I know Patrick Reed has had success here before, but I think Joaquin Niemann's the guy you got to watch out for. I've been following him worldwide. George, I watch golf the way you watch Bundesliga soccer. Like, you know teams that I don't even know exist. Yeah, he's a psycho. George is a psycho. So am I. I'm betting on women's amateur golf. You know that, like, if I could bet on that kid's chip putt competition, I'm there. I'm like, yeah, the girl's from Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. I'm in. Yeah. What is she, 12-1? Yeah.
Hey, Cam, Ingrid Lindblad. I was doing this stuff 20 Ingrid years Lindblad's the number one amateur women's golfer on the planet.
Yes, Ingrid Lindblad. I'll tell you another thing. Watch out for another Swede, Lynn Grant. She's my gal.
Okay.
I like her a lot. She's really solid. And see, George, this is what we do. People are like, hey, I'm betting the Flames tonight. I'm betting the Leafs tonight. I go, yeah. And what else are we doing? We're betting German soccer and women's golf and amateur sports. That's how we roll. That's what we do.
How about the captain of Legion 13, Mr. John Rahm?
Here's the thing about John Rahm. Scary player. Could play Augusta really well. I don't like his odds. That's the whole thing about the LIV guys. I think they're being priced. Like, when you look at the markets, guys, like, when you want a little bit more with them because they're so – it's a miscellaneous thing. They've been playing three-round tournaments. He can win any week, but I'm not going to take John Rahm. I'm telling you, I know this is absolutely insane because if this guy was fighting me down the back nine, Schauffele probably, like – he doesn't win down the stretch, but he did win an Olympic gold. I have a real weird feeling that like he shows up this week, and if he doesn't look at the scoreboard, he could win. And George, I know you hate Cantlay, you hate slow players and guys who like
his Goldman Sachs hat.
Yes.
He's the everyman golfer with his golden.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Just like
hedge everybody. Fund.
Yes. Hi, I'm Patrick Cantlay. I am sponsored by Goldman Sachs. I am the everyman. Like enough. Like I want a guy who like grew up in sleeping in his car to win the tournament. Shoffley's not that guy, but it's not our. You know what I mean? He's not paying me. We're betting on him. I prefer the hard. You know what, George? Did you hear the story about Ash K. Batea though?
No.
I had him last week. This guy didn't even go to school. He's a child prodigy. He won last week at 22 years old. I look at that guy, he's 90 pounds soaking wet. And I look at him and I go, what a guy. Like, you know what I mean? And to blow a six-shot lead and not blow, to have Denny McCarthy catch you and still win a golf tournament, how much stones? Like, that takes stones as a 22-year-old.
Big fan.
You know what? He's a lefty. But debutants don't do well at the Masters. But I'm probably going to take him for like a top 40 or something like that. I'll throw him in the mix.
Fuzzy Zeller, the last one in 1979.
Fuzzy Zeller. What's for dinner? Fried chicken.
Yeah, not good.
Apparently they were talking about Hideki Matsuyama had the best Masters dinner ever, like Kobe beef. Like,
oh, yeah.
This guy doesn't screw around. Like, Hideki's a actually. My girlfriend's chirping in the background. She likes Hideki at, 35 or 40?
Yeah, he's looking good.
I think we got, I'm telling you, Hideki's in great form. Definitely a top 20 bet. He's won before, and he's a very dangerous player who doesn't get rattled. And that's what you need at the Masters.
If his putter's just half decent, he's going to be right there on Sunday.
Great call, George. If he putts average, he'll be on page one of the leaderboard.
Cam Stewart, SiriusXM Sports Grid host, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, Big Show, Russick and Rose. 960 The Fan. I want to ask about Canadians, and I also want to.
That's nice. Russie, Rose. Rose? Like Justin Rose?
Yeah, like amazing. Matt Rose over here. Yeah, he's got a mustache.
Matt, great handle.
Cheers.
Your last name is Rose. That's got to be good with women and good in particular, I would think.
It's a bit of a hack, but yeah, we kind of lopped off the back of the name, but it's fine. Rose is good. Yep.
I like it. I think, like, if my last name was Rose, like, smelling like a rose, like, it's a nice name. Yeah, I absolutely. Like Justin Rose, too. He's a class act. I met him, and he was nice to me.
When you're in Calgary, feel free to come in, and we'll definitely do an hour with you when you come into town in studio.
I would love to come to Calgary. That's my brother's hometown. We hired Joe Madden. She works for Sports Grid now. She does a couple shows with us, too, and I like Calgary a lot. As I told you, George, I live in Ontario, but between me and you, I'm not an Ontario guy. I lived in the Northwest Territories, BC. I worked for my brother in Alberta for a while. I'd rather move out west. Like, I love the west way more than the east. And everybody in Ontario, who cares? I don't really care what you think. I'm glad that you went to Calgary because I prefer the west. I think the people are nicer out there.
Damn straight. Yeah. Let's talk some underdogs. Maddie's going to ask you about the Canadians. Yeah. What are some dark horses? I got one for you. Minwoo Lee. I really like him heading into this one.
Think about Minwoo Lee is, it's so funny. All these guys that we've talked about with other people too. Minwoo Lee is good, but he also has really bad holes. And at Augusta, you can't take doubles and triples, but I like Minwoo Lee. I think Harmon is a dangerous dark horse. Other guys that I'm looking at, who's a really good underdog player. You know what I did, George? I took a guy, and he's not going to win, but Nick Dunlap. He's won a tournament this year. He's an amateur. The only reason I don't like him more is because he's never played Augusta. He's 250-1. But he's also finished multiple times on the PGA Tour, top 20s, and a win. Like, he played good the other week, too. Like, he's a very dangerous player. That's somebody that I would look at, definitely. What do you guys think about Phil at 175-1?
I think that's good value.
Yeah, I do, too. Like, if you get a matchup bet, Phil Mickelson versus some hack, I'd take Phil. Like, I think he can, and you probably get him as a dog. I got to do some more research because I'm on vacation and my girlfriend deserves more of my time because she's a great lady. But I'm going to do more matchup bets and we'll figure this stuff out. But the thing about Augusta is Phil can literally show up and go, seen it, done it, know what this hole does.
Yep.
I need to put it here. That's the beautiful thing about Augusta. We all know every hole. And we know where they need to put the ball. So that's why debutants don't do as well, first timers. But Phil and Tiger, like, they could literally come in, even with, like, not great form. They played it so many times. They know every lie, every angle, hole position. They've been there, done that.
Wanted to ask you about the Canadians. There's a group on the course right now. Mike Weir, Corey Connors, Nick Taylor, and Adam Hadwin playing the classic Canadian practice round. Who do you like here with the Canadian passport?
Great call. You know what, Rose? I like your style. But we're gonna go with Corey Connors. And I know he's not, like, you know, I really want this guy to win tournaments. But have you guys seen his record at the Masters? Also, the tournament last week at the Valero, he won two of the last 4 years. He's a very streaky player. Nick Taylor's put more money in my pocket than any Canadian golfer other than Mike Weir that paid for a cruise when he won the Masters back in the day. George, I'll tell you, I went to Gibraltar. Mm. I went everywhere. Oh, yeah, I had a monkey piss on me. It was amazing. But great trip. 17 days in the European Magic Tour.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. But I'm going to say this. Corey Connors loves Augusta. If he could putt, I'd actually take him to win. But I think he's a great, like, top 20 bet and top Canadian. I've already bet him. I love Corey Connors. The pride of Listowel, Ontario, George.
Damn right he is.
You've been there. Been there, done that.
Before I let you go, yes. Cam, this has been terrific stuff. Biggest name that's going to be a bust in this tournament. Can I give you one?
Yeah, give me one.
Justin Thomas. I want no part of Justin Thomas.
That's so
changed
funny.
His caddy.
We bet on Justin Thomas, me and my lady on Sunday. She's like, why do we bet on that idiot? I go, I don't know. He used to win. And then we're sitting there on Sunday like, let's have drinks because he's killed me again. I'm not taking Justin Thomas either. He could be there, but I prefer guys, good call, George. I prefer guys that have been there and done that before. And I think I feel a lot safer with a Hideki. And if he screws me, he screws me. But I'm telling you, I like Shoffley's the one guy. I like him this week because no one's talked. Like, it's one of those things. He's like, oh, he's a gagger. He can't win. Sometimes, as you know, in hockey, you got to lose a couple times before you win. And I think this is the tournament where he kind of figures it out and gets the monkey off his back. But I'm not betting Justin Thomas either. I'll fade him in matchup bets.
Real quick, what about Ludvig Åberg? What about that guy who hits it a mile?
I love Ludvig Åberg. Problem is, never played Augusta before. Probably very, very strong. I'm not sure if he's going to win. I think he could maybe be on page two or three of the leaderboard. Ludvig Åberg's amazing. Like, what's up with these Swedes that go to Texas? Like, Alex Norton, and he went to Oklahoma State, and Ludvig Åberg is a Texas Tech Red Raider. He's a great player, George. I bet him all the time, but at Augusta, it's one of those things. I kind of want a guy that, you know, has been there a little bit more. It's one of those things. This is a great tournament for a veteran. Like, remember Freddie Couples used to make the cut every year and stuff? Bernhard Langer, top senior. I cashed that bet so many times. It's like, you need a guy that's like said, I've been here before, but Åberg will do okay. I think I'll make the cut, but I'm not going to take him to win.
Cam Stewart, SiriusXM Sports Grid host. He's a betting expert. He's an absolute beauty. Cam, my man, thanks for this, pal.
I miss you, George.
Let's talk soon.
You know what, George? We've been betting this whole betting legalization thing. We've been doing this like before and stuff, and I'm watching the commercials and stuff. I'm like, you should do it. We should do a commercial where you talk about Bundesliga soccer and I talk about LPGA golf, and like, we'll knock it out of the park.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody and their mother's doing it now. We've been doing it for the last 40 years. It's just part of our lives.
Hey,
it's the way we are.
I like Arsenal first half against Bayern Munich today in Champions League.
See, that's what I was waiting for. Buddy.
Bayern
soccer
Munich bleeding
pitch,
goals.
Me.
Bleeding goals now, Cam. Take the first half over 1.5 to Champions League today. The Gunners at Emirates. Let's go.
I love it, man. You're a soccer guru. Hey, Rose, I love talking to you guys again. Good luck in the Masters. I hit the Batea monies, George. And like a smart person, what do? Buy gold, stocks, put it in the bank. Know what I do? Bet more golfers.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Masters, everybody. Let's go.
Thanks, Cam. Mode. There he is on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Cam's a beaut.
Yeah, it was really good.
He's gave you a lot of golfers there. Did you change your mind on anything? Because you and I will be filling out a golf pool.
I didn't change my mind because I hadn't made up my mind on anything. But I'm going to probably listen back to the interview, do a little bit of kind of research maybe today. Got a little bit of spare time this afternoon, I think, before I start kind of getting geared up and starting my mental preparation for an 8:30 puck drop.
Because you and I are in a pool in Niagara Falls, which is extremely lucrative, which I don't know how it hasn't been shut down yet because it's so big.
Yeah.
But it's totally legit, and there's some big money to be made. And they pay out in straight cash, homie. Some dirty bar money. Fives and tens. Fives and tens.
Just stacks and stacks of Jack.
Yep. Speaking of the Masters pool, we have one for Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sure,
is it live?
We sure do.
Well, why you look that up?
That was one of the things that I was actually looking up during the break.
Why doesn't intern
And yes,
Simon,
I can actually edit my picks now.
Okay, why doesn't intern Simon tell us about that?
Get ready for the excitement of the Masters at Augusta. Who will seize the prestigious green jacket? You can win too by joining the Sportsnet 960 Masters Pool. It's free to enter. Just head to sportsnet.ca/960s contest page. Holy. Make your picks and you could snag an Uscan Designer Series safe from Calgary Lock and Safe, valued at over $550. On the golf course, mastering putting is key to victory. In business, mastering access control ensures success. Protect your business with a master key system from Calgary Lock and Safe.
Great stuff, Simon. It's live now. You can go make your picks. Go do that now. One thing left to do before we say goodbye, and we're super late. It's time for our lock of the day. Brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. How did we do yesterday, Mr. Patty Dumont?
Well, George, you did not hit yours. Mm. Inter did not win by 1.5 goals versus Udinese.
They won 2-1.
Yeah, they won 2-1. I hit mine.
Some soccer savant.
GBP hit his, and Matty hit his. Kron did not hit his.
Yeah, Jose. Oh, boy, when John Schneider got the hook out, 101 pitches after that fourth hit. Oh, yeah. Felt good.
I
was under 4.5 hits for Jose yesterday.
I'm going back to the pitch. The Gunners hosting Bayern Munich, who's had some issues lately. Looking for their only trophy this season. They're
Harry
not going to win the
that's
Bundesliga.
Why.
Damn, Munich. Too bad.
They're on the road. Place Arsenal leg one of their quarterfinal matchup Champions League. I'm just taking Arsenal.
Money line
Arsenal to win in regulation, obviously. Well, there'll be no extra time because it's leg one.
Exactly.
So I'm taking Arsenal today. The Gunners against Bayern Munich. Lock it in.
The Gunners. Exciting stuff. Got a little same game parlay here for you with the Flames and the Sharks game tonight. Andrei Kuzmenko's been on some sort of a heater lately. 9 points over his last two games. I'm feeling extra confident against a terrible San Jose Sharks team. Even when the Flames have played down to their competition, this line has been good. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a Nazem Kadri over 1.5 shots. Not much for him. He should hit that like in the first period. But the key here, Andrei Kuzmenko over 1.5.
Whoa. Ooh.
We're making a little money. Making a little money today, folks.
Patrick, where are we going?
We're going to baseball. Baltimore Orioles taking on the Boston Red Sox. I like the Orioles over 4.5 runs.
GVP?
Lakers and Warriors tonight. Lakers are 8-2 in their last 10. They're 28-11 on home court. I like them to cover the 2.5 against Golden State.
Terrific stuff. Our lock of the day is brought to you by Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. What do you got coming up on Mucho Big Show?
Ryan Dixon, senior writer from Sportsnet, going to talk about the four Canadian teams that will be headed to the postseason.
Excellent. Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast. Rate, review, subscribe. Maybe defend us on Oilers Reddit, whatever you want. we got Oilers fans mad, so I think that's pretty awesome by our part.
I don't really care either. That's fine.
Go to the Masters Pool.
You don't have to do that, guys.
Go to the Masters Pool, 960. Should be fun. And use as many Toronto George names as you want. All right. Mucho Big Show next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.